Rusty Mansell with us. You've been covering this a lot longer than I have, but I have been around just enough to be dangerous. We interviewed Matthew Stafford as a 17-year-old when he made his decision. Yeah. That at the time, I guess, was one of the big ones. Quincy Carter showed up in Athens after his flirtation with baseball and deciding not to go to Tech, and that turned into three or four quarterbacks leaving because it was so obvious that Quincy was the next level. Jacob Eason was the number one recruit in the country. So Georgia's not, you know, this is not a first-time rodeo for Georgia, but any others, or is this any, how much different from those situations I just mentioned?
It's totally different now because, I mean, you know, you look at the roster and, you know, guy, even Gunnar Stockton has multiple years left. You look at Ryan Puglisi, who has four more maybe, I think, with a red shirt, you know, and all these guys are going to battle, but they're not going to be there. Like, somebody's going to win this job, and, you know, Gunnar Stockton likely will be gone by the time. This is going to wind up at some point, going to wind up coming down, probably a Ryan Puglisi, Jared Curtis type deal at some point, but it's such a different day and age. You can leave now. So what you're talking about in 1998 was definitely unique. I mean, like, Quincy Carter ran four guys off, like, and that was the day and age where you didn't do that. So, you know, this is a little bit different. And listen, there's also portal quarterbacks. And for everything that Georgia had going on this year, Kirby Smart tried to sign two of them in January and didn't get either one of them. So you don't rule out portal guys too, that's going to be involved in this mix down the line. Such a different day and age. This kid, you know, I don't like to do that type of comparison. People that know my work, I don't like to try to put that on there. But obviously, with the arm strength, you have to look at him and say, this is Matt Stafford. And why I like that comparison, this kid's about 6'3". He's like 220. Big, big, strong kid. You know, pretty athletic guy, not a statue. And I think that's one of the things that kind of hurt Jacob Eason was he was – you know, he couldn't really move around. He had this huge arm. He's 6'6", a great kid. Couldn't really move. And but you look at Jared Curtis, I think he had 18 rushing touchdowns last year. You know, I get all these comparisons like, hey, you know, he's not playing great competition. Well, I went up there and saw it. I had to go see it myself. So I went up there and I saw it. I've been around a long time. It's not Grayson. It's not Buford. It's not Milton. But nobody questioned Arch Manning playing in a small private league in New Orleans. Mm. I've seen that league, and I've seen the league that Jared Curtis plays in. I can assure you that Jared Curtis, who is a similarly ranked player, Arch Manning, very similar ranked as Jared Curtis, number one quarterbacks in the country, Jared Curtis played in a lot better league than Arch Manning played in. So let's dial that down about the competition factor.
Nashville Christian numbers are 40 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He also ran for another 637 yards and 18 touchdowns on the ground, Rusty?
Yeah, pretty athletic now. Woo! You know, he's going to be able to – he's going to be, if you watch his highlights, that's the one thing you kind of – if he excites you, that's the one thing. He's outside the pocket. I watched him that day, and I was like, man, this kid's got a live arm, but can he move? Because he's a big dude in person. He's got broad shoulders. He is every bit of 220. I mean, this is a yoked-up kid, but you look at him, and he's athletic enough to be able to move. You got to be able to extend plays. You don't have to be Mike Vick. Those are few and far between, but you have to be able to move off your spot and extend plays. I'm very confident he can do that. Ryan Puglisi can do the same thing. So, you know, these are athletic guys with big arms. A lot of battles will be played out down the field, but when you look at Jared Curtis, the skill set, the tool bag, I talked to a lot of people in the country, because I was very curious myself the last month. I talked to a lot of people outside the Georgia market, and everybody was consistent, was this is the guy in this class. This is the one. There's really good depth in this class at quarterback, but if you want to start with one, you start with Jared Curtis, and Mike Bobo got him yesterday.
The model of Arch sitting for 2 years – as Texas tries to contend for a national title, showing a level of patience. Obviously, he has a family that, you know, it's not like he needs to go for the dollars or whatnot. Now, plus, he's getting paid now. What am I talking about? He's getting paid a lot of money
in
Texas.
Big NIL endorsement.
Right. Yeah. So, is that the model that Georgia looks at? I mean, you know, it is interesting that Gunnar Stockton is there, but there wouldn't be the notion that he would play this kid over a veteran quarterback. I mean, give me some idea of best – it's a strange thing to say – best case scenario, or what the most likely scenario is of when Jairus Curtis is on the field in Athens and who is around him in the quarterback room.
I think 2 years from now that you'll see why he'll have the opportunity to be the starter. I don't think he anticipates coming in and play as a freshman. You know, that's just not how this thing works. the appeal of Georgia, and I've talked to a lot of people, the appeal of Georgia is a couple of things. You know you're going to have good players around you. You know you're going to play in big-time games. You know that if you go to Georgia, you're probably going to have to wait your turn a little bit. And that's the way they've been doing it quarterback. I mean, Gunnar Stockton waited. Carson Beck waited. Hell, they tried to bench Stetson Bennett 12 times, and they finally played him. And, you know, I mean, Todd Monken basically told him in August, go home. You can't play for us. And 3 weeks later, he was the starter. So, you know, it's one of those deals where you kind of know going into this thing what to expect. Jared Curtis didn't go into Georgia to sit around for a couple of years. And that NIL deal they signed with him, I'm pretty sure they didn't say, hey, let's wait 3 years before we play you. He's going to have his opportunity. But it's not one of those situations where I'm expecting him to come in and start as a freshman. I think Jared Curtis knows he needs to come in and learn. He'll be here next probably at the end of December. He'll start practicing with Georgia end of December. He'll go through a spring practice, he'll go through a fall, and then, you know, that following spring, his second spring is when you, like Ryan Puglisi, this was a very big spring for him. He took some steps forward, and I think Georgia feels a lot better. And I'll say this, Georgia didn't take a portal quarterback in this window. I was very curious if they were. That kind of tells me what they feel like with Ryan Puglisi as a backup right now going into the season with Gunnar Stockton.
All right, so now the dominoes start to fall. We're looking at Jackson Cantwell, who is, quote, tweeting stuff last night. Congratulations, Jared Curtis. And it's down to Oregon and Georgia for him as well. Big offensive lineman out of Missouri.
Yeah, Miami. This is Drew Rosenhaus's high school client. So, you know, this kid's not worried about a power bill right now. I can tell you that. When Drew Rosenhaus dips into high school, I can tell you they expect big things out of this kid. I'll say this. He was set to make his decision, I think, this week. He puts his decision off. He's going to be in Athens with his family this weekend on Mother's Day weekend for an unofficial visit, and he makes his final decision on the 13th. Oregon's involved. Miami is involved. You know, Missouri, the home state, is definitely trying to make a push there. So there's a lot of people involved. This kid had offers from everybody. I think he's got the best shot put in the United States by far. I mean, this kid's going to be in the Olympics. So it's one of those type guys. Georgia is definitely all in there, and Jared Curtis, you know, those two. There's no question in my mind. Jackson Cantwell knew exactly where Jared Curtis was going yesterday, and Jared Curtis has probably been working him behind the scenes pretty hard. We'll see, but it doesn't hurt that Georgia's going to have him in town. Isn't it ironic, you guys? We're in sports radio. Stake, I'm with you so much. You know this statement. Wouldn't it be ironic for the 2 5 stars in this class to be landed by Stacey Searles and Mike Bobo? For as much as, you know, the offseason heat that those guys kind of take social media wise, for those two guys to go out and get it done with the nation's number one quarterback and then the nation's number one offensive tackle.
Yeah, Kirby's smart. The word smart is apropos. There's nobody that is a brighter individual that I've been around in college sports than Kirby Smart, and that's just not about sports. Stacey Searles and Mike Bobo are there, not just because they are elite recruiters, but they're elite coaches. Now, I know Bobo got a lot of love yesterday. Stacey Searles, we know what a great job he does. And I'll still take Mike Bobo over 98% of any coordinator. You can scream and yell. Rusty, I've never listened to a fan base in the history of college football that didn't talk about their play caller. That's just the job you have chosen.
We laugh about it. Jake Rowe and I, we're co-owners together at Dogs HQ, and we laugh about it because I remember having to calm people down about Todd Monken. Like, they were dumb with this guy.
Of course.
They were absolutely, what are we doing? This guy, you know, Cleveland fired this guy. What are we doing? You know, and you know, and then all of a sudden the light cuts on when they make the move to Stetson Bennett, and next thing you know,
I love the Kirby's afraid to make moves with his friends. Okay. Yeah, look at that guy's track record. If you think Kirby's worried about, you know,
and I'll give you a shout out, man, because it's public knowledge, and they made a post about it. But congratulations, his son Weston, he made a perfect SAT score, ACT, perfect
ACT
score.
But I mean,
Mary Beth must be really, really smart.
Mary Beth is so smart. My God,
they come from an athlete. They come from a family where education is a huge factor.
They're great people.
That's what makes Kirby. Yeah. No, that's what makes him different. Listen to the stuff that he reads and everything else. He knows how good Mike Bobo is. I just sometimes these hosts talking about Mike Bobo's play calling. Give me a break. How was his play calling 2 years ago when we were undefeated, Carson Beck, and then we didn't have Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers could have won a national title?
Big year. Listen, it's a big year. It's a big boy world, and I get it. And obviously that didn't set well with Georgia staff. I know it didn't set well with Kirby Smart. I know it didn't set well with Mike Bobo. Those guys want to fix those things. It's a big year for Georgia. But yesterday, it's like my man Jerry Glanville said when Deion Sanders ended that holdout. I'm a hell of a lot better coach today than I was yesterday. And right. Georgia's a lot better today, knowing they're going to have Jared Curtis down the line in that room.
Thank you, Rusty.